We've been looking in the book of Psalms, and so we've been looking at several different things. The first one was an introduction to the book. We talked about it being a songbook for life. Psalms most of them were written as songs for worship. And they were meant for different things. Sometimes they were meant for people to sing as they were going down the road on their way to Jerusalem, maybe to a festival. Sometimes they were used in a worship ceremony. Sometimes they were used for various other things. But nevertheless, they were all used as ways of expressing worship to God during various times of one's life. And so today we're going to look at a psalm that is used when somebody's not having a very good day. You ever had a bad day? Yeah. You ever had a bad day where people are making fun of you? Where people are just coming after you? Where people are just, and you pray, God, will you please bring them home early? Get them out of my life. Today's psalm is one of those psalms that David, we believe, is the author of. And he's gonna give us this song. This psalm is basically a psalm of desperation. You ever been desperate? Just, God, I can't do it anymore. There's no way that life, I just can't go. And so this psalm of desperation is a psalm that we find in chapter 3 of Psalms today. And so we've talked about delighting in the light. We've talked about delighting in the Word of God. We talked about this king that was to come. Today is help. I'm in trouble. I'm in big, big trouble. And so as we read this psalm today, I hope that you find that you can relate to it as well. And so what I want to do is I want to read the psalm for us today. It's not very long. It's just a few verses, eight verses. And so let's read it together. And we're going to see what happens when we know that God is our deliverer, when God knows our situation. My point today, or what I want you to understand or go home with, is the idea that God provides peace and protection in troubled times. Let me say it again. God provides peace and protection in troubled times. Now, I know a lot of times when you're in trouble, the idea of peace is very aloof. It's very far away. It's not even close to what you're thinking of. And so the fact that God gives us peace in troubled times may not be something that you're used to, but God does do it if we look to him. Not only will he give us peace, but he will always also give us protection. So let's check out Psalm chapter 3. And see what it has to say. It says this: Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me. Many say to me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my hand. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and I sleep. I wake because the Lord sustains me. I'm not afraid because the Lord. I'm not afraid of the thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, Lord. Rise up. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who loves us. You are a God who protects us. You are a God who is watching over us. So today, as we look at this psalm, God, I pray that we would understand that you are a God who not only looked over David and looked over the nation of Israel, you look over us today. In your name we pray. Amen. God provides peace and protection in troubled times. The first thing we're going to see in this text is that David has a problem. Now, we believe David wrote this psalm. Some have suggested that it was written at a time when David is running from someone. And so he is being pursued. So who are the foes? Who are they? He says, my foes are many. Who are these foes? It is quite possible. Lots of theologians believe that the foe at this time is David's own son. You ever had family problems? David's own son wants to kill him. That's not a good day. And so David is running. He's an older man now. He's still king of Israel. There is a succession issue going on in his family. And Absalom, his son, decides, I'm going to be the next king. He gets a general. He gets an army. And he declares himself king. And David goes on the run. And it's very possible that this psalm is written during this time. He says, my foes, they rise up. These foes, they have risen up. Not only have they risen up, but they say, God will not help you. God won't help you. How many times have people told you there's no hope for you? And they may not have said these very words, God won't help you, but basically what they're saying is there's no way in the world you're getting out of this. Doesn't matter who your God is, no matter who you worship, I don't care how many times you go to church, there is nothing that can happen good for you. And what they're saying is these foes are saying, God will not help you. And either they're saying one of two things. They're saying, one, he can't help you because he's powerless. You serve this weak God. You serve this powerless God. You serve a God who can't beat me. So sometimes, how many of us look at our problems and we say, there's no way we could do this? And by default, we say our God is powerless. Either they're saying God's powerless, or they may be saying he won't. He doesn't care about you. Not only he can fix this problem for you, but he won't do it because there's no relationship there. There's no love between you. God doesn't care if you go down or not. So either God is powerless or God has no relationship with him. Regardless, his foes are saying, you are helpless. So David has a problem. His foes are coming after him. Bad things are going on. They are on attack of David. But really, are they attacking David or David's God? Think about it. They are saying, God won't help you. This is not a statement about David, but rather a statement about David's God. And when people come to you and say, there's no help for you, there's no hope for you, this is a hopeless situation, there's no way things can get better, there's no way you can defeat this, there's no way you can overcome this, what they're saying is, your God's not powerful enough for this. And if he is powerful enough for this, he doesn't love you enough to help you out. So are they really making a statement about David? Or are they attacking God? They're not limiting David. They are limiting God. They're attacking his source of hope. His foes may not see it that way, but what it does is it leads to the possibility of us doubting God and not ourselves. When your foes say you can't do it, when your foes say you can't overcome this, when the financial collapse comes on us, when our bills keep coming in and we say, God, there's no way I could do this, and people call and they say, you better pay your bills, or when life happens and family comes after you, whatever is going on in your life, and these people are coming up, and you're like, God, help me, I'm in trouble, and everybody's saying, we're going to get you. What they're really saying is, your God's not big enough to deliver you. Your foes may not see that they're attacking your God, but in reality, that is who they are attacking. The psalmist knows his problem. He knows what's going on. David knows that these armies are rising up. Many, many people are getting up and they're coming after him. So he knows his problem. So what does he do? He calls out to the only one who can protect him. In verses 3 and 4, look what it says. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. David says, these people have risen up. I know my problem, but I also know my protector. And these people have risen up and they've declared that his God will not help him. But the psalmist confesses and he professes his trust, not in his own ability, but in the God who loves him and the God that he loves. How does he start out this? He says, they have risen up with me. They have said, there's no way that we can do it. But you. But you, God. But you. A counter to the many. Those many people that are rising up. There's a lot of them, but all I need is the one you. When the world is raising its ugly head to defeat us and to come after us and to just destroy us, all you need is the one. The one God. And he gives God three titles here. It's interesting, he calls him three things. The first thing he calls him is, he says, you are my shield. You are a shield. And not just a shield like the average army guy would have, where he has the shield in one arm, and he's only able to protect what is coming after him in front of him. But rather, he says, you are a shield all around me, so that when many attack me, when many come after me, you're always there. God is the original force field. Is what he's saying. I don't just need one shield to come at one area, but I've got God all the way around me. God is my shield. So when they come after you, when the world comes to attack you, God encompasses you. Not only is God his shield, but he's also his glory. The first thing is he's God is his shield. The second thing, God is his glory. God brings glory to himself by working in the life of David. When David becomes victorious, who gets the praise? Not David, God. And when we need to keep that in perspective, when we are able to defeat a foe, when we are able to overcome what is oppressing us, it is not we who deserves praise and not we who deserves glory. It is the God who is our protector, our shield, and the one who deserves all the glory. Make sure you point to the right person when people come after you and tell you how great you are. You say, thank you, but I serve a great God, and he has given me the strength. So God is our shield. God is our glory, and he's also the lifter of his head. He holds his head up. Imagine this. Who holds someone's head up? Someone who cares about them. Someone who loves them. When you're sick, your mom would hold your head up. She would stroke your brow. She was there. She was support. She was your encouragement. The idea of lifting someone up is the idea of God coming beside you and saying, you can do this. I'm with you. So David is running for his life. He is hiding. His own son is trying to kill him. And he says, God, you are my shield. God, you are my glory. God, you are the one who lifts up my head. The enemies claim that God does not help. The enemies claim that God does not care. But the psalmist says, I don't care what they say. I've cried out to my God and he hears me. And you cry out to God, no, he hears me. And what he does is he expresses trust in God. He says, God, you're the only one who can shield me. God, you're the only one who can encourage me. God, you're the one who all the glory deserves to do. And so I'm going to put my trust in you. God, you've helped me before. God, you will help me again. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about that. Why? What happens when you're in between a promise and a fulfillment and you begin to doubt God? You remember that he's been faithful before and he will be faithful again. And David says, God, you helped me before. You'll help me again. I know you. I trust you. So David has recognized his problem. He has declared his protector. And when he understands who his protector is, he has peace. He has peace. Look in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because God sustains me. I'm not afraid of the thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. God knows his problem. God is his protector. And God gives him peace. How many of you, when life's turmoil comes and hits you, when there's more bills than there is income, when there's more strife in the family than you can figure out, when there's more trouble at work than you care to talk about, how many of you sleep good at night? David says, I go to bed. So now you may go to bed, but you don't go to sleep. David says, I go to bed. I trust you. I've confessed my trust in you, and I'm going to demonstrate my trust in you by going to bed. He's not going to wake up at 3 a.m. and begin to fret over it and worry about it. When we really trust God, when we really put our faith in him and really put the problems in his hands, we stop worrying about them. Now, I know that's easier said than done, because I promise you, I've been up at night before. But when we really trust God, when we really put our faith in God, we can go to bed and leave it in his hands. He says, God, I went to bed and I woke up because you sustained me. I woke up, I rested because you were there with me. He lays down and he sleeps in the presence of being threatened by adversaries. There are thousands who are coming after him and he goes to bed. What would you do? What do you do? Very few of us sleep. But David says, God, I have calm in you. I have trust in you. I can know that you are my protection. I know this because you've protected me before and you are protecting me now and you will protect me later. I can sleep. I can arise in peace and I can have full confidence in you. God, he's our peace. When chaos is around us, he is our peace. Even when we're surrounded by problems, even when David is surrounded by thousands, his trust is in the Lord. Where do you put your trust? Do you put your trust in your finances? Do you put your trust in your own abilities to work it out? Do you put your trust in relationships, in other people? Or do you put your trust in God and go to bed? David says, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to go to bed. We have problems. We have a protector who gives us peace. And we also know that our protector will give us peace and our enemies will get punishment. Last couple of verses of this chapter, of this psalm says, rise up, Lord. Rise up. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Rise up. Beginning of the psalm begins with this same phrase, rise up. They have risen up. The many have risen up. God, it's time for you to rise up and meet them on the battlefield. God, it's time for you, when my foes have risen up, when they have said that you are not good enough, when they've mocked you, when they said that you cannot protect me, when they said you are not powerful enough to come after, to be my protection, when they said you didn't love me enough to be there for me, rise up and show them the real you. Rise up, O Lord, be my God. He cannot match, God, the psalmist, we cannot match their power because they are powerful, more powerful than we. We cannot match their numbers because we are alone. So he says, they've risen up, but I've got a champion. God. God will rise up. He meets their unbelief with God rising up. And he trusts God. He trusts God to deliver him when those claim that he can't. And he says, God, go. You go get them. Shut their mouth. Break their teeth. Do a little dental work for them. Now, this breaking of the teeth can mean a couple of things. One, it can mean close their mouth. Shut them up. When you get your mouth punched and you get punched in the mouth and your teeth come out, you stop talking trash. And it shuts them up. It could also mean this: remove their fangs. Remove their fangs. This idea of defanging them. Take away their violence. Take away their ability to commit violence toward us. So David says, God, I have a problem. They're coming after me. But God, you're my protector. Because I know you're my protector, you give me peace. And when you give me peace, you punish my enemies. So a few things I want to make sure you carry home with you today. One is this: God is one who delivers. God is one who delivers. Have hope in his deliverance. David has hope in God's deliverance. An army is coming after him, yet he trusts God. Who's the one who delivers you? Where is your hope placed? The second thing, when we let people lead us to question God, when we allow people to lead us to question God's love for us and his deliverance toward us, we also begin to go on a downward spiral. What I mean by that is this: we look within and we say, God, I'm really not worth saving, am I? God, why would you save someone like me? God, why would you protect someone like me? I'm a horrible person. I missed church twice. I didn't read my Bible this week. I forgot to pray. God, why would you deliver me? Why? Because he's faithful and he did it before. And if you're his child, he'll do it again. So don't let people question your God. If they question your God, the third thing we should do is tell our enemies who our God is. Be willing to share with your enemies the power and love that God has for you and also for them. Share your faith. Share your testimony. Show them that he is not powerless, but that he loves them. And the fourth thing is this: trust in trouble. Trust God when trouble comes your way. There's an old hymn. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but instead I wholly lean on Jesus' name. Second verse says, when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. What is the hymnist saying? What is this guy saying? He's saying, God, you are the only one who can protect me. God, you are the only one who can watch over me. When I don't see your face, I will still trust you. When I don't understand what's going on, I will still trust you. Just as the psalmist says, God, they're calling me out. God, in reality, they're calling you out. So you shut their mouth because they are questioning you. You shut their mouth because they're saying you're powerless. Show them the great and mighty God you are. And the course to that hymn says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When you put your trust in something besides God, when you say something else will be my protector, when something else will take away my worry, you will realize that when the water comes in, the ground shifts and washes away. But when your feet are on Christ, the foundation of our salvation, the foundation of who we are, and the waters of life come rushing in, you stand firm. Whether you see his face or not, he is always there. He sees your problems. He loves you. He's your protector. Let him be your peace. And don't worry about the punishment. As Chris plays, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. Give your problems to him. Let him be your protector. If you need his peace, seek it out. And notice that David calls on God to punish them, not because they are pursuing him, but because they are questioning God. So God's not saying, David, break their teeth because I don't like them. He's saying, break their teeth because they're talking bad about you. We need to make sure our anger is placed in the right place. And that God is defended and not us. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who gives us a firm foundation. That you see our problems, that you are our protection, a shield all around us. That you give us peace. The world just doesn't understand. Father, I pray that today, if there's anyone here who's struggling with a problem, that they would give it to you. That they would trust you with it. Trust you to work in their situation, that they would rely on your peace and your protection, because you've done it before and you'll do it again. Father, we love you and we praise you because you deserve it. In your name we pray. Amen.